And the person who introduced us to that is a pastor from San Francisco named Jeffrey Garner. And I met him about 12 years ago, I think. It was 2010 that I met him. And we just began to form a beautiful relationship that is really a brotherhood. And he knows a lot of my secrets. Oh, he's coming up. He knows a lot of my secrets because he has been just a pastor to me, a friend to me, a brother to me, a true discipler. I'm not done talking yet, so just hang on. So thank you for what you do for me personally and what you do for our church. He spoke and taught yesterday at the final day of Disciple, and he got his master's and his doctorate in the book of John. And so I've been telling, you know, we've been in this series in John 15 for the past 3 weeks, and I've said that he's going to come and fix all the mistakes that I've made over the last 3 weeks in the book of John. We love you so much. Come on, welcome Pastor Jeff Garner to come speak to us today.
Love you.
Thank you. So good to be in San Marcos. I made the horrible mistake in the first service of saying Austin, and I got booed off the platform. So, thank God for grace, for second chances. It is a delight to be in San Marcos, but even more than that, to be with my brother, my soul brother, Robin. I love you dearly. This guy has walked with me through one of the most difficult times of my life in 2018, and I'm forever indebted to you for that. Thank you for that. And then to be in San Marcos, and then to be on top of all that at Promised Land. Folks, I have been walking through the wilderness in San Francisco for 3 years. Well, the pandemic and all, I've been in San Francisco since 2003, but the pandemic, it was just like a wilderness. And I just could not wait to get here to the land that flows with milk and honey. And to be with you today to celebrate the resurrection. Resurrection is something we celebrate every Sunday, right? Every Sunday, because we gather to worship on the first day of the week. And part of that gathering to worship on the first day of the week was to remind ourselves that we are part of a new life, a resurrection life. And so from the first sermon that was preached by Mary from Magdala, from that first sermon that she had to convince the disciples of the truth of resurrection life, she preached on the first day of the week all the way through to today, on the first day of the week. There has been a chain, unbroken chain, of on the first day of the week, people getting out and declaring, Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is here. He's in our hearts. And so that's what we're doing today, and it's so awesome. Even if you're celebrating Lent and you're walking through Lent, if you're doing that, you still know this on Sunday. It's celebration time because we're in the resurrection. So we've been, for the past 3 weeks, walking through the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, one of the farewell discourse. This is the last sayings of Jesus that we get come to us from John 14, 15, 16, and then the beautiful prayer in John 17. And we've been walking through, really, in John 15, this idea of abiding, right? Pastor Rob has been talking about what it means to abide. He's also talked a little bit about how, you know, what it means to bear fruit. We're called to bear fruit. We're called to prune some things in our life. And this really, the Gospel of John is really, it's a unique, of the four Gospels, it's one of the most unique of all the you have the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then you have this other Gospel called the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, that sticks out in just a very beautiful way, separate kind of from the others, in how it declares and portrays Christ. And I want to give you a little key that I'd like you to use this week as you reflect in the Gospel of John. And that key is a way of using John. John can be used a lot it can be used differently from the other three. It really is intended to be used differently from the other three Gospels. And so if you'll go to Realm, got it. I believe you all know how to get on. They know how to get onto Realm. A lot of them do. So just before I get going here today, if you'll go onto Realm, you can download this, like it's a little booklet. And it's for 1 week. It's a devotional that each day of the week, Monday all the way through Saturday, will guide you in some reflections on this whole idea from kind of John 15 of intimacy with God and growing one's identity in God. And so all the way through, there's some assessment tools in here that you can use and then guide you through and how to kind of pray and reflect and meditate on these scriptures as a means of growing your intimacy, your spiritual intimacy with God. You all are just beautiful people. Doesn't it feel good just to be a beautiful person? I love it. See, someone just like grabbed that. Yes. I am who you say I am. Yes. I am beautiful. I am courageous. So we have this lady, beautiful lady in our church community. Her name's Anahit. She's Arminian. She came to San Francisco from Armenia, migrated to San Francisco about maybe 20 years ago now, about 20 years ago. But her story is so fascinating, and it really relates for me to this beautiful scripture in John that we'll be looking at in a moment, John chapter 15, verse 14. But I want to tell her story as a kind of way of setting this scripture up so you can kind of feel in the texture of this scripture. Anahit has a unique, you know, have you ever met someone and they just have a unique way of viewing God? And they have a unique way of kind of viewing themselves as well? Like you get around some people and they just have this, you could say energy, but they just have this kind of effervescent joy. Like they're always seeing something miraculous or beautiful or adventurous or glorious about God in their life. They just kind of live and walk in that. And if you ever get around someone like that, if you've been around, or if you are that person, thank you for your contribution to the kingdom of God. Because we love you. We love being around you. You feed our life with Christ's presence and with so much joy. Well, she is this kind of a person. And her story is so fascinating. She told me, she's like, I was in Armenia, and she still doesn't speak English that well, so her son was kind of translating it to me several years ago. I was in Armenia, and on my birthday, I just had that kind of relationship with God where I felt like he would always come to me, his presence would come to me, and he would say something like, what do you want for your birthday? She said, it just was a very personal, close, intimate relationship with Jesus. And so on my birthday, I always would anticipate this, oh, Jesus is, and she said, and we were really very, very poor. We didn't have much, and I always wanted to give something to my family. And so on my birthday, I'd always, you know, say, I would like a vacation, or I would like this kind of a meal, even though we didn't have this particular kind of food. And every year, miraculously, God would somehow provide this for me, and my family would get to enjoy it. And she goes, this went on for years. My birthday, something beautiful had happened. She goes, and God was just always showing up in my life in just such a beautiful way. And she goes, one year I had this experience where I felt Christ showed up into my life with a present already packaged and walked up to me. And so I didn't really get to request anything and just handed it to me. And she said, I opened it up. And when I opened it up and looked inside, it was me. And in that moment, I had this awareness that the gift that God was giving me was me. And that this gift of life was a gift from God. Each breath, each moment, each day was a gift from God to me. And she said, it hit me so strong, so real, that I began to just cry and pour my heart out to God. And I said, God, what can I do for you with this gift? I want to give the gift that you have given me. I want to give it back to you. in that moment in your life, and you've probably had this happen in your journey with God, but you have these moments where you move from like, give me, give me, give me, and all of a sudden you kind of step over into, I want to be a giver. I want to be a blessor. I want to be someone who is generous and shares. And this was that moment for her. She's like, I realized so much God had given me, my life. I wanted to give it back. And she said, God spoke to me and said, I want you to move to San Francisco. I want you to go out into the parks. She goes, I had never even really heard of San Francisco. I didn't even really know of anything else. Go out into Golden Gate Park, and I want you to pass out food to homeless teenagers that are living in the park and share my love with them. She, within a year, packed her bags, told her family that she was going to follow Jesus to San Francisco. They're like, but Mom, you don't speak English. You don't even know anyone there. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? She goes, I don't know, but this is what Jesus wants from me, and so I'm just going to do it. And I'll figure out a way to bring my family. And it took her almost 4 or 5 years to get her whole family to come over there to be with her. But when she got there, immediately, she did what Christ was calling her to do. She stepped out in the park. She'd pass out pizza. She didn't speak, but at the time, and even now, very, very little English, but at the time, she knew about 3 words. That's all she really felt like she needed to know in English. Jesus loves you. She'd go out in the park, open up a thing of pizza, stand out there, walk around to the kids and go, Jesus loves you. And smile and give them a piece of pizza and walk on to the next person. And she has done that. She did that all the way up into the pandemic for like 17 years without missing a Saturday evening out in the park. It was her way of honoring the gift of life that God had given her. This woman, I have witnessed her being speaking to the elements. One Christmas, like it's about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we were out there in Golden Gate Park, and she had one of those little Christmas trees, Charlie Brown. She had the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. She would set that up and turn the little lights on. She'd have a little music playing, some Christmas music, and we'd just pass out hot cocoa and all kinds of food and presents and socks. And we got out there and it started to pour rain. And she was like, nope, not going to happen. Not going to happen. She walks out there, she raises her hands up and she speaks this prayer, bold prayer in Armenian, and it stops raining. I'm not exaggerating this. Now, this would be something if I could tell this was my story. I just was going, I don't believe this is actually happening. I can't. We were all looking at each other like, it just stopped raining. Came back, did all the food and everything, started packing everything up and loaded it into the car, starts raining. I'm like, dear God, this woman has an incredible relationship with God. I'm like, I know I'm her pastor, but God, I'd like to have a relationship with you like she has. I want to walk with you like she does. Well, I noticed something with Anna Heat, that there are these two things that were at work in her life. And I've noticed it with people that are growing in their walk with God. They'll have this horizontal growth and they'll have this vertical growth that happens almost simultaneously. And that vertical, the horizontal growth is they begin to grow more confident. But a better word might be more grateful of who they are, of what they are, and even of where they are. The gratitude just gets stronger. It's like what we were singing a moment ago. I am who you say I am. Like to be able to stand there and say, I'm a child of God. I am who you say I am. And be grateful in that. You're experiencing, you know, a break from other mentalities that we tend to get sucked into. Self-pity, misery, self-loathing, you know, all of these things we just kind of beat ourselves up on. And you begin to move. So there's this horizontal move as you grow and become aware of who you really are. And then there's this vertical growth. And that vertical growth begins to happen as you begin to grow aware of who God is. And I'm not talking about just like you read a book, it's like, oh, God is this. And you go, you begin to experience God as a father, as a friend, as a brother in Jesus. You begin to experience God as the one that provides, protects, forgives, loves, gives new chances and hope. You look at your life and you start seeing in your own story these encounters with a living God. In every experience that you can go through in the scriptures where someone encounters this transformation of who they are, it is always at the crosshairs of them coming to understand who God is that they begin to understand who they are. It's almost like they look in a mirror. When they see God, they see themselves. It's Jacob wrestling with the angel at the river Jabbok, right? He's wrestling with this angel, and he's saying, I won't let you go until you bless me. And his whole life, when he was born, you know, back in antiquity, the name that they gave you was just kind of what your character was. So when he's born, his brother comes out red and hairy, and they call him Harry. They call him Red. Red Harry. He's just like Esau. He comes out, and he's grabbing onto his brother. He's a twin, grabbing onto his brother's heel, like he's trying to pull his brother back in so he can be the first one out. And they're like, heel grabber. That's what we'll call him, heel grabber. He's always grabbing someone's foot. He's always trying to pull other people back. That's his character, and that was his name, Jacob. He was a heel grabber. He was a deceiver. He had this reputation everywhere he went. His whole life story unfolds like this. And then there's one moment when he's coming back to face his brother, and in this journey back, he encounters God. And he grabs hold of God. And God's like, you're a God grabber. You're a God wrestler. Your name is Israel. You're now a prince. His whole identity changed. Who he was for the better changed in the context of, in the environment of wrestling with God. The same can be said for Moses. The same can be said of Elijah. The same can be said of Paul on the Damascus Road. Who are you, Lord? And in that context, he comes to understand who he is and what his call and his mission in life is. When you gather here on a Sunday and you stand in the presence of God singing a worship song or come at the end of a service and you give your heart to God, in those moments where you come face to face with God, you are also encountering the true you, who you were meant to be. Because here's the truth. We have a false self and we have a true self. And somewhere in your journey, somebody probably told you when you were a kid, you're this or you're that, or you're not this or you're not that. And you begin to identify, you begin to take on a self that wasn't true to who you were. It was whatever the loudest voice in your life was. That voice that declared you're this or you're that. And we have all of these, as we could say, all these identities that we can find ourselves getting locked into in our life. And whoever we see ourselves to be is frequently how we function in the world, how we treat others, how we view ourselves. And one of the incredible things of God's work of transformation, it's that work that he does in us when he brings who he is into our life, and then we are transformed by that into who we truly always were. Down here, our true self. That true self begins to emerge. And then we're really living. We're really in touch. And so a lot frequently when we ask, you know, who are you, or what do we ask who we are many times based upon what we do, a role that we have. But what happens when that role is taken away? What happens when you don't have that role anymore? I could say I'm a pastor, but after the pandemic, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what that means now in the city that I pastor in. What if that role's taken from me? Down in here, I'm not a pastor. Down in here, I'm God's child. I am God's child. In our journey, we have moments where we transition from one place to a next in our relationship with God. I mentioned the Gospel of John is this beautiful book that affords us an opportunity to encounter the presence and the Spirit of God through the sacrament of Scripture. Like the way that it's written, you actually kind of come in contact with this living, breathing God. Watch this. We're going to read John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 14, 15, 16. We're going to read these verses, but here's what I want you to do when I'm reading this. I want you to sit there. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to imagine that God is speaking to us right now. I want you to imagine that God is speaking also to you personally. His word is multifaceted, speaks to us as a collection, as a collective, but also speaks to us individually. I want you to listen. As these words are being read, I want you to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you through this. You say, okay, how do I do that? All right, well, take a deep breath with me. Now breathe out. Breathe in one more time deep. Now breathe out. Jesus speaking says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Now, if you listen, these words that were read, these words are living words. They're alive. It's not like the newspaper. They're alive. Those words can transform you right now. Christ may be speaking and saying to you right now, you've been living as a servant in relationship to me. I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to go here, I need to go there. And he may be saying to you right now, I want you to be my friend. Now, what does this mean? This means that our relationship with God is not stagnant. It's dynamic. It is meant to grow. It is meant to evolve. It is meant to become something amazing, something glorious. This walk with God is meant to be the most adventurous, beautiful, glorious thing in your life. That's what God wants for you. He doesn't want it to be boring. He doesn't want it to be something you're just kind of getting through to get you through a problem, that you're just kind of surviving through. The kingdom of heaven is everywhere. Open your eyes and look around. It's everywhere. The presence of God is everywhere. If I could use this word magic, there is God's supernatural beauty and glory is happening everywhere. It's all around. The great rabbi Abraham Heschel said, some asked for gold, some asked for knowledge, some asked for wealth and fame. He said, I asked for wonder. Wonder. It's like the little kid right out on the beach that finds a starfish and holds that thing up like, oh my God, it's a starfish. It's a starfish. I can't believe it. It comes running back to mom and dad like, you will never believe what I've got, a starfish. And mom and dad have seen these things. They're kind of gross. They're out on the beach. You know, it's no big deal. I mean, they're everywhere. Like, what's a big deal? It's just a starfish. But to that little kid, oh my God, life is great. Life is just great. Like my little daughter, when she's 24 now, but when she was three, we got her a tricycle, and she got on this tricycle, and she has the chubbiest little legs. Had the chubbiest legs. I hope she's not watching. And she got on this tricycle, and she was going around the little, like, on the sidewalk. She went down the sidewalk, and she just, like, as fast as she can go, just, like, cranking it out, right? Just in heaven. I mean, she is in heaven. She gets kind of to the end of the sidewalk where the sidewalk stops, and she can't take it anymore. She jumps off of the tricycle, and she does this number. She was so happy. She's like, oh, my God, did you see me? A tricycle. What are you talking about, Jeff? Well, what I'm trying to get at is your walk with God is this. That waking up in the morning and going, oh my God, I get to live today. Oh my God. Somebody just smiled at me. I cannot believe it. Someone smiled at me. That recovery of wonder and awe. Jesus saying, I've not called you servants anymore. You're friends. It's time to grow to what's next. And at some point in your relationship, like my son who's 22 said to me the other day, Dad, I just want to work alongside with you in something. Now this is a whole different relationship. And when he's, you know, 7 or 8, it's like I'm helping him. Now it's like we're doing things together. My daughter will bust in the room, just bust in the door, and she'll just like, you know, I'm running this right now. It's always, and so I'm getting to experience them as friends. But they're also my children. And there's this thick relationship there. This is the Heavenly Father to us. He's waiting for us to mature, to grow to what's next. He's waiting and anticipating and excited. Like, I just can't wait to show you. Can you see it? It's for you. Your life is going to be so amazing. I'm so happy for you. And we're just like, oh, God. Starfish. Oh, these starfish, they stink. God. He's like, I created them for you. Aren't you happy? Starfish. Right? He puts together in our lives, to be sure, our lives have challenges. Our lives have difficulty. Our lives have difficult things. But there's another side to that in the midst of all of that. He wants us to thrive in the midst of the wilderness. He wants us to thrive in our relationship with Him. He wants us to encounter His presence and His grace. We experience His mercy and His love. This guy, his name is Dominique, and when we first moved into the neighborhood that we're in right now, which is right downtown, San Francisco, I noticed him like within maybe 6 months or so or a year, and he was experiencing homelessness and he was a meth addict, and his life was just really, really, really upside down. And so I would go out with him periodically. I'd go out with him and just spend the night out on the streets with him, walk around with him. We would talk. He would share his story with me. So many times we've sat on sidewalks and just like kicked it on a sidewalk, and during the pandemic, you know, I kind of lost track of everybody. Like, it was like everything just seemed to kind of like, and I completely lost track of him. Well, I'm in the gym. This is maybe a month or so ago. I'm in the gym, and I haven't seen Dominique this whole time. I just thought maybe he had passed away, because really rough life, and I thought maybe he had passed away. I look over, and here's Dominique walking toward me. And he is walking around with that kind of a smile right there. He is walking around the second floor of 24-Hour Fitness, really large, large area. And he's just going, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. He just walked around blessing everybody. I was on the pull-up bar, and I was like going, dear God, Dominique, I mean, you got religion, brother. It's like, you know, so I didn't say anything to him that day because I was, you know, but I'm like, next time I see him, I'm going to, sure enough, 2 days later, I was in there. He's walking around. God bless you. A little bit louder. God bless you. And now people are kind of like not sure what to do with him. You know, it's like that, oh, okay. So, you know, the guy squatting, he's like, oh, God. You know, and everyone's just like not really sure. He like consistently every day is doing this for like this whole week. I noticed like towards the end, like after about 3 or 4 days, people are like kind of, you know, loosening up a little bit. And they're like, hey. You know, but they're not going to go, God bless you back. No one was doing that. Well, not in San Francisco anyway. They're more like, good energy to you, or, you know, good luck, or, you know, just kind of trying to, you know, trying to go along with it, right? I get it. I'm like, it's all good feelings for each other. Everyone's got a good feeling. All right, we're all good. Well, so he's going around, and when I tell you, it's the funniest thing. Like, he'll be on the bench press, and he'll be pushing up, like, just one go. And he is like all in. Ah! Like the whole place is like, oh my God. He gets that bar up there, puts it down, he sits up and kind of sniffs, looks around like, yeah, I did it. And then he starts walking around. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Right. Well, the other day, it's so sweet. In fact, I was talking with him. And but one of the girls in our church, she's a photojournalist, and she had actually done a photo journal of his story on the streets. And I took a couple pictures of him, and I sent it to her, and I'm like, you would not believe what's happened in Dominique's life. He has, like, got religion. I mean, he is in all the way. And we got to laughing about it. Well, the other day, this is, like, Thursday, I'm in the gym, and I hear this. I think he just got tired of walking around is what happened. He's just like, you know what? I'm tired of walking around, so I think it'd just be easier if I stand right here by the stairs where everyone can see me. And he goes, hey, everybody! I mean, it's like, people are like, God bless you all! Turns around and walks down the stairs. Now listen, in order to do something like that with that kind of joy, that wasn't guilting, shaming, it wasn't like weird, it was just pure joy. It came from right here. Like he really wanted people to get blessed. He really wanted people to have a good feeling about it. That's all he wanted. It was happy. In order to get to that place, something had to happen in his life with God. Something transformed him. And this is what I'm saying. In our journey for us to get to that place, God comes along and he is like trying to wake us up, shake us a little bit, so that we'll step into a fully awakened place, confident, bold, beloved sons and daughters of heaven. And God wants this for you. Now, the question is, how many of you want that? That kind of a relationship with God. That kind of joy. That kind of peace. If you do, would you stand with me? Say, yeah, I think I want that. That sounds good to me. I'll take one of those blessings in the pocket. God bless you. God bless you. God bless everyone. Right? Here's what I would like you to do. I'd like you to hold your hands out like this and just repeat this after me. Father, I'm your child. Thank you. Thank you for this breath. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for a whole day that's in front of me. A new opportunity. Baptize me with newness. Baptize me with joy, with wonder, with awe, with the kind of energy that makes heaven sparkle. Place inside of my heart the spirit, the life of Jesus Christ. I want Jesus. Say it again. I want Jesus. I want more. I want more. I want more. Father, you hear this prayer. You see the delight of your children, eager, hungry, yearning, longing for the adventure that you have wanted for them from the beginning of the world. You have designed for them as a community and as a church, as a people, as individuals. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You are both personal and communal. You are the God that is over us, and right now, you are wooing us into that depth with you. And you are calling us friends. You are calling us daughters and sons. You are calling us, and we know who we are because you have declared it, and it is deep. Deep, deep, deep inside of our soul. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.